it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, it is a Friday night, and the Orioles are back home after a horrendous road trip in which they lost 7 out of 8. But now back at the, inside the friendly confines, if you will, Orioles here tonight open a 7-game homestand, and tonight open an interleague series. The St. Louis Cardinals are in town. So Buck and Rock in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Club's back from a 1-7 road trip. The obvious question, but just how disappointing is it that the club couldn't make a better showing?
The club what?
Couldn't make a better showing on the road trip.
Well, obviously disappointing, but you got to move on. It was, we haven't been playing well. That goes without saying. And you can't hang around one phase of the game because everything is gets affected by it. But, opportunity tonight against one of the best pitchers in baseball would be a challenge for us. But, you can use all the cliches you want to, but we've got to play better.
One quality start, I believe, in the last 9 starts from the rotation. Do you feel right now you just have to kind of trust track records and just wait out these guys, or could there be some changes down the road?
Like what?
That'd be the next question.
Yeah, well, Rock, we got to make what we have better. It's like you said, it's got a track record of pitching better. This is the same team that was 23-10 with the best record in baseball at one point. And, same players did that, same coaches did that. And, everybody's, I'm sure, I don't read it or look at it. I'm sure it's because they care. They're probably calling for changes and this and that, whatever. And, sometimes the challenge is staying the course. And those same teams that were playing like we were are not anymore. And but we can't treat it like it's just something every team goes through. You got to figure out a way to get through it. And every night is an opportunity for something good to start.
We see a couple new pitchers in the clubhouse today. What's the latest?
The latest is we optioned Yakabonis out. He came up in a time of need, and can see why guys are excited about his arm, but he's had command problems here, and it's been a challenge for him somewhat down below. But he's got a chance to be a good one, and it's the start of the process. We're waiting on the possibility of another pitcher, waiting on some medical stuff with the doctors to get out of have a player get out of the MRI to make sure we know what we're dealing with, whether or not we DL him or not. So there's a potential of adding 2 pitchers tonight.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Carlos Martinez on the mound for the Cardinals. What should we know about him?
Have you seen him, Rock?
A little bit.
I tell you, fans are in for a treat. He has got some kind of arm. He'll be 97 to 100. Big breaking ball. A lot of personality on the mound. Good changeup. One of the better pitchers in the National League. And for those that don't know him, you're going to get to see a really, really good arm tonight.
Seth Smith is back in the lineup leading off, so the back issue is behind him now, so to speak?
Well, supposedly. We'll see. It's one of those things that, you do all the testing, and, he was real close yesterday. I probably could have used him as a pinch hitter yesterday, so I'm hoping it's not an issue, but until we get into game speed, we don't know.
We saw Zach Britton in the clubhouse. Everything progressing nicely, and he's supposed to be in Aberdeen Monday?
How good was it to see him? Zach's got some color to him, which means he's been in Sarasota. No, Zach's going to probably pitch the first inning over in Aberdeen. And, Mark Hendrickson was kidding him, the pitching coach over there for us. You're going to call some young kid his first opening day start ever, but it was all kidding. But, I think with where he is, the chance to take a full warm-up and not have the game dictate when he'd come in. And then after that, we've got it mapped out. I think his next outing will be at Delmarva. He's going to have a couple outings over in Delmarva. And then we'll continue to progress through the plan we have for him. But it's good to see. He's come a long way to get to this point. So far, so good.
Is there anything new with Darren O'Day?
Darren threw yesterday. Didn't feel anything. That was really good. First time he'd picked up a ball and really thrown. So, it's not imminent, but now we can see where if he gets through the plan that they have for him, he can rejoin us for not too long. But it won't be tomorrow.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
By the way, the Orioles did make a couple of roster moves. Yakabonis is back in the minor leagues. Mike Wright is on the disabled list. Vidal Nuño is now in the bullpen, as is Gabriel Ynoa. So they're all available for the game tonight. First of 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Joe Angel with Mike Bordick tonight. And Bordy, before the game today, sat down with Scott Coolball. You're going to hear that conversation when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
Welcome back to the Great Clips pregame show. Mike Bordick here, and Orioles back in town, thank goodness, after a very tough eight-game road trip where the O's went 1-7. Of course, here at Camden Yards, the Orioles boasting still one of the best home records in the American League with 21 wins to their 10 losses. Hey, earlier today, I had a chance to talk with hitting coach Scott Coolball about the draft that just came and went, and his son was fortunate enough to be drafted by the Orioles, and he, of course, was a third-round pick. That's coming up next.
Well, we're visiting today with Orioles hitting coach Scott Coolball, and I wanted to ask Scott, because his son just got drafted by the Baltimore Orioles, just talk a little bit about the draft. Congratulations here, Father's Day weekend. You, of course, drafted when you're a young player. It must feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I think any dad that has a child that's out there playing sports and can accomplish some things, not only going to college and playing and getting them in a position to possibly have a team look at them and finally get drafted, not only by a major league team, but the team that you work for. I'm very proud of him, very thankful, grateful for the organization to give him that opportunity. Dan Duquette, Gary Racich, the scouting director, and the rest of the scouts to, give him that opportunity. And then, you know, Brian Graham, the minor league director, will put him in a place where he thinks he needs to go and, you know, see what he can do on the field. But I think that every kid out there that plays the game and that has a desire to play Major League Baseball just wants an opportunity, whether it's the first round or the 40th round, or even sometimes as a free agent like yourself, that all you need to do is get your foot in the door and have that opportunity, and it's up to you to take advantage of it.
So you were drafted in the third round yourself, and when you got drafted, did you have an opportunity to talk to anybody, give you any advice going into the draft and even when you entered minor league ball?
Well, I think that the draft today is so much different than it was back in the day. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of negotiations. There was, it was kind of an unknown. They would call you on the phone and, hey, we selected you, whatever round you were picked in. And today it's just, with the social media, with the TV, with the MLB network and negotiations away, there's slot money. I think that so much is taken care of beforehand that a lot of these guys already kind of know what to be expected of them before they even get drafted. So I went in it with unknown, just talking with some guys maybe that you run across with that were, former college teammates that were in the minor leagues and what to expect. Word of mouth was the way to go. But, I think the communication about what to do now and how things are played out, it's a whole lot easier for these guys.
So I think your son's probably a little bit more comfortable, probably being around the major league clubhouse a little bit more frequently than you did when you were a kid. But what do you think is going to be the biggest eye-opener for your son when he enters minor league baseball? And what was it for you when you got into minor league baseball?
Well, I think that, you only kind of evaluate yourself in with teams that you play or in the area that you play in. And you don't realize the amount of talent that is in the world. Latin America kids that come over at 16, years old, and they're hitting the ball 500 feet. And, you get pitchers that are young and they're just throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, you don't realize the true talent until you go out there and you experience it. I think that's the biggest eye-opener. It all depends on a person's ability to adapt when it comes to travel, the road trips of being on the bus and the hotels and all that kind of stuff and playing on an everyday basis. That's probably the biggest thing that kids have to adapt to is that, they only play on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now they're playing every day of the week, and the expectation of them to go out there and perform and do those things on a daily basis is so much more demanding. So probably the travel of playing every day and just the eye-opener of the amount of talent that's truly out there.
So how do you get over that that hump? So initially you sign, you're a drafted player, you might go to rookie ball. Does it happen right then? Do you notice it right then, or does it actually happen the next year, maybe in spring training? Because I know for me, I thought, even after rookie ball, I said, okay, I got a good shot here. And then when I went to spring training, it was like, oh, my gosh, look at all these guys.
Well, I think it never ends. I mean, you know, it just gets harder and harder. You know, at one time you think you've conquered rookie ball, and then you go to A ball, and, you know, that you go through that period where you adjust and you conquered that and you think you're well on your way. And then all of a sudden you get to a certain level and it's, man, you know, there's a sticking point for everyone. And, you know, there comes a time where the uniform's taken off you, or you keep going and you finally make it to the major leagues, and then that's a stopping point. It was for me. So, you know, I think every day the experience that he's had of seeing these guys and know what it takes to play every day is definitely a great learning experience for him to see. But the bottom line is you're going to have to go out there every day like it's your first impression, because this year is totally different than the year to come, and then the next year and following year, and every day has to be a first impression. There's so many eyes watching these kids play, and they don't realize the opportunities that that they're given or lost because of the impressions they give.
Boy, that's a very important point right there. I've seen a lot of talented kids fall by the wayside because of the inability to bring what you just said on a daily basis. You know, there are scouts in the stands everywhere, and it isn't just the one team, it's the 30 teams, right? So that was an excellent point. All right, on to the Orioles. Streaky offensive team, say the least, and we've seen this team put up amazing numbers in the past, and right now they're in that down time, and unfortunately it seems like it's collective, you know. And how do you try to put a stop to that? What's the way to get out of things like this offensively?
Well, I think that, you know, over the course of the you know 2.5 years that I've been here, you know, we've seen periods where we've had these downturns, and they seem to get extreme at times. And when it becomes a, you know, 1 through 9, so to speak, or even all 12 guys, it's very difficult because, you know, one guy is just not going to lift somebody out of the slump or the doldrums, as you may say. It's going to take a collective group and each guy being focused from one pitch to one pitch. It's one inning, one at bat at a time, one pitch at a time. And it's really got to narrow your focus down to as simple as that. You know, it's not going to take one person to just, you know, take us, you know, through the next weekend and win games for us, because we need everyone. And we have a lineup that is mixed matched with different pitchers on the mound. We got righties, we have Seth and Kim in there. When we have lefties, we got Rickard in there. So, you know, we just have to do the little things a little better. That's kind of a cliche, but how do you do that? And to me, it comes down to not trying to do a whole lot. It's focus on one pitch at a time, getting a good pitch to hit every at bat, and not let the emotions of the previous at bat affect the next one, or one pitch affect the next pitch that you may have something to do with. And, you know, stick your nose in there and grind it out, because, you know, there's a runner on third and the infield's back and you got a chance to just put the ball in play. You got to bring team first, and when we do that, good things happen. And you know, when you go into struggles, it seems like each individual wants to try to put it on their shoulders and take the pressure off the rest of the team, and that's, it snowballs and it goes the opposite way.
Well said there as well. Team first, certainly going to be the key for the Orioles to get out of this little slump they're in right now, and certainly believe in the future, or the past successes this team has had, is going to carry them through this tough time right now. So thanks for your time today, Scott.
Well, Mike, we'll see what happens. We're always happy to be back home. We've got the Cardinals, and, you know, it should be a good series. And like I said, these guys are all confident and believe in each other. Just we'll go out there and do the best we can.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick back here at Camden Yards in the loss count. I tell you, Bordy, Kevin Gausman, we talked about it during the broadcast, got great stuff, threw lots of great changeups, lots of good fastballs, throwing 97, 98, couple of 99, and yet he gives up a lot of hits. He gives up big home run. Now, in all fairness, he did not get a lot of calls here tonight.
Yeah, oh, I agree. And it started from the beginning of the ball game. He was really driving it downhill, and there were some questionable borderline calls on that outside corner that I know he's been working on. And really the big reason why he's made that adjustment on the mound, actually sliding over towards that first base side to better control the glove side fastball command. But the home plate umpire wasn't helping him at all, and there was a little bit of frustration in there, I think, from Kevin Gausman. But I personally like the way he was driving the ball downhill, really working at the knees pretty much most of the game. Of course, a couple mistakes led to some runs.
Kevin Gausman, 5 2/3 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits, couple of walks. He had 7 strikeouts. Enoa came out of the bullpen, and all he did was give up home runs. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, the fastball a little bit flatter. Staying on the same plane through the strike zone. And the Cardinals hitters, you know, they're starting to – we're talking about hitting being contagious, and we witnessed it tonight, you know, this Cardinals lineup. They were feeling good, and they started swinging the bats. And, man, when the home runs came, they started coming quick there at the end.
They had 5 home runs in this game. Enoa gave up 3 of them. Gausman gave up 1. And then in the end, Nuno also gave up a home run in the ninth inning. How about Carlos Martinez? The Cardinals right-hander, he's a young guy, he's about 25 years of age. He's given up 1 run in his last 15 innings.
Yeah, he was flipping up some wiffle balls up there tonight. Real loose arm, kind of slinging it through the zone there. Live fastball, obviously, rushing up mid to high 90s. He touched 100 miles an hour a few times in this ball game, and then real good slider when it was on. When he was executing it down and away, it was as good a slider as I've seen in the game. Of course, he did make some mistakes up in the zone, but too many weapons from that young man.
Well, he went 6 innings, gave up 1 run and just 4 hits in this game. I love the way Trey Mancini in the ninth inning, in an 11-1 game, he did not throw away an at-bat.
You know, that's going to be the key to this team offensively, I think. And really, the offense could pull this team out. They start stringing together some hits, hit some home runs. I think it'll help the pitchers relax a little bit more. But the key to not giving away at bats, not just saying, okay, it's another blowout game and go up there swinging haphazardly, getting a little too big, stay with the game plan. Mancini did it right till the bitter end. That was a great at bat, laid off a tough slider, and then boom, home run to center field.
And Mancini has now hit safely in 7 consecutive games. But they lose this one by a score of 11-2. Kevin Gausman tonight walked the leadoff hitter, but in that first inning, he faced only 3 men. The count 2-2. Gausman, look at first, comes home. Swing, a little chopper hit toward Manny. Go to second. Out there. There's the relay. Out there. Double play. On a ball, 40, that really wasn't hit all that hard.
Oh, that was as good as you're going to see right there. Manny Machado with Jonathan Scope. They've been doing it quite a few times this year, but how Manny cuts it back across the infield to get it to Scope, and then, of course, the power arm to clean up the double play. Beauty.
Well, Kevin Gausman, his last start against the Yankees, he faced 9 batters in the first inning. Tonight, against the Cardinals, he faces only 3. In fact, he faced only 7 batters in the first 2 innings and threw about 22 pitches. And then came the third when Martinez began with a single. And then DeJong, he singled. And then Carpenter singled. And with the bases loaded against Gausman, that's when Dexter Fowler came up to hit. And the pitch. And he walked him with the bases loaded. And a ball that just missed outside. And that will force in a run. 1-0 Cardinals.
Looked like a pretty good pitch, but once again, Cardinals hitter showing some great patience around the edges of the plate.
Yeah, so Fowler, bases loaded, walk. And as it turned out, the Cardinals had gone ahead to stay. Piscotty, a fly ball to pick up another RBI. And Kevin Gausman, he threw 38 pitches in that third inning, gave up 2 runs on a total of 3 hits. In the bottom of the third, well, that's when the Orioles got even. A single by Kim after Hardy struck out. Smith, a double. Machado came up with a base runner at third base and less than 2 outs. Comes a 1-2 pitch. Same breaking ball. He goes the other way. Fly ball, right field corner. Piscotty on the back of the warning track. He's going to make the catch. Kim will tag. He will score. Smith will tag. He'll go to third. And it's a 2-1 game.
Well, beautiful adjustment right there by Manny Machado. And everybody in this inning going the other way, backing it up, not trying to do too much. Machado got himself in trouble in that at-bat and then made the in-at-bat adjustment, staying on the slider and driving it the other way. Plenty deep enough to pick up the sacrifice fly, the run on the board, Yunsoo Kim.
Yeah, so it's just 1-run game. Kevin Gausman back to work in the fourth inning, gave up a single to Diaz, and then the Pham, after out on the bases, he singled, so he was on base for Paul DeJong. There comes the pitch. DeJong, fly ball, deep left. Kim backing up, in left, in the corner. gone, a home run. Paul DeJong with a two-run home run. Cardinals ahead 4-1. And the Guardsmen again in difficulty in the fifth inning, a single by Fowler. And with only one away, after a walk to Jerko, men on base, Molina came up to hit, and he got, Guardsmen got double play ball in an unconventional manner. And here it comes again. There go the runners. Fly ball to the left. Kim comes on. He's going to catch it, and he's going to get a double play. With the runners going, the throw back into second base, and that's where Fowler is doubled up. A line drive, double play, not exactly what Guardsmen had in mind, but the Cardinals run into a double play. So that's how the inning ended. And then in the sixth inning, Guardsmen got the first two outs and then gave up a double to Jose Martinez. Exit Guardsmen after 116 pitches. Enter the right-hander Gabriel Ynoa to go to work on Paul DeJong. And the pitch on the way. DeJong lines it up the middle. That's a base hit to center. Now Martinez being waved in. Adam Jones comes up throwing. The throw cut off by Machado. The run scores to make it 5-1 St. Louis. In the sixth inning, that run charged to Kevin Gausman. Yeah, so Gausman gives up 5 runs in 5 2/3 innings. And then moments after that, Carpenter came up to hit. Ynoa delivered. Carpenter, fly ball, right center. On the run, Smith. Way back in the gap, way back there. And that ball is gone. That is a home run. It got over the wall. And that's a two-run homer. For the second time tonight, the Cardinals have delivered a two-run home run. It is now 7-1 St. Louis in the sixth inning. Yeah, and then Fowler came up with the bases empty. And now the 0-1 delivery. Fly ball, deep right field. Smith again looking behind him. And, yeah, forget about it. That ball is long gone. Way back in the seats out toward right center. Back-to-back home runs. Fowler, number 11 for him. 8-1 Cardinal. And then Ynoa came out for the seventh inning, struck out the first two batters. But then Diaz, an infield single, and that's when Tommy Pham fanned one. He tried to make a bare hand pickup and spun right out of his hand. And there's a drive, and there's a ball. That ball is gone. Forget about it. My goodness. Left center, back about 20 rows. An instantaneous home run. Another two-run homer. And the Cardinals now at double digits. They lead 10-1. And then Jerko hit one with the bases empty in the ninth inning. So the Cardinals, a total of 5 home runs in the game. Oh, by the way, the Orioles did hit a home run. 2 outs, bases empty, ninth inning. Trey Mancini would not give away an at-bat. And a pitch. Breaking ball, fly ball, into center. Pham on the run. Way back there. Bye-bye. Boom, boom, has struck again. He's got 11 now. And Bordy, I think it's safe to say that Mancini, in an 11-1 game, did not throw away his final at-bat.
He sure didn't. You mentioned it. He laid off a tough breaking ball, and that bottom a fastball up and out over, and he crushed it for his 11th home run. Straight away center field. Beautiful swing by Boom Boom Mancini.
Yeah, Mancini getting it done in the end in a lopsided game. And then moments after that, the game ended. 3-2 pitch on the way. Popped it up. Back to first should do it. Carpenter backing up foul ground under it to make the catch. Ball game is over. Well, the Orioles come home, and, well, it felt just like the road in the end result. They lose this one 11-2. That was it. Mike Bordick will continue with our postgame activities right after this.
So Buck Showalter talked about tonight's ball game against the Cardinals. Let's take a listen to his press conference.
What's up? What'd you see from the call? Okay. You know, everything, every mistake gets kind of magnified by the, one, they have a real good pitcher on the mound. We're not scoring many runs. But, usually that's enough to keep us engaged in the game, but we didn't do much. And I think, it came in and gave up his run right away, but very close. I was hoping to get him through that sixth inning. That would have been good for him. A lot of foul balls. I think he had like 23, 24, somewhere in there. Kind of ran up his pitch count. You know, a lot of good-looking pitches from the bench, you know, as far as close to balls and strikes. But, they're seeing it pretty good. They're spitting on. They're barely off the plate. I'm sure you saw it, too.
Mitch, Christian Martinez pregame? What was he able to do?
Oh, same thing he's been doing. You know, he's top in ERA every year. He's got plus fastball. He goes to different levels when he needs to. Obviously, a good slider and change up if he needs it. Didn't need it much tonight with all the right-handed hitters that we, you know, have to play. But he's a good pitcher. He's tough. Think about the guy pitching Sunday's got a better ERA than he does. So we'll have another challenge next 2 days.
When the team is in a rut like this, mm-hmm. is there anything you can do to try and make it better with them? I mean, talk to them.
Well, that would be assuming we haven't already done that. You know, certainly not going to. When we do stuff like that, we certainly don't invite everybody, so to speak. So those things have been done by a lot of different people, including the players. So, you know, we'll keep looking for ways to get better.
You mentioned hoping to get Gausman through six. That 10-pitch at bat there, yeah. The end, I mean, how big of a kind of a potential momentum swing?
Well, that was going to be probably his last hitter. You know, there was some debate in my mind about whether, you know, to let him go out for six, and he came out, and I thought it'd be good for him and his confidence. He, you know, got two quick outs, and that long at bat got him. They had a lot of long at bats that kind of ran up his pitch count, as opposed to their guy. It was just the opposite. I think we ended up, what, we strike out 10 or 11 other guys tonight. But there was a lot of damage in between.
When you say, you know, every mistake is magnified, Kevin's given up almost two base runners inning. I mean, is he making just, is it mistakes that are just getting hit? Is it good pitches that are getting hit? I mean, what's the common thread in all this with him?
You know, when he does, you know, get behind the count, you know, one of the things when you're pitching well and you do get behind the count, maybe you lead off a guy with a breaking ball that's ambushing fastball early and you miss, and this his ability to get a fastball strike with a located, well-located fastball, and that's where he's having trouble getting a count back in his favor. And, you know, they're able to box out some pitches on him unless he can get a breaking ball over behind the count. You know, the one quality that pitchers, when they're pitching well, is they can locate a fastball down the way to get back in the count, and that's been a little bit of a challenge for him.
What'd you see?
He elevated, I know, a changeup. He fastball was up, just a lot of center cut fastballs. You know, it's been some of the challenges, you know, he's had in, you know, Norfolk, and, you know, it carried over here some. But, you know, he had, you know, one good outing for us. You know, they had a predominantly right-hand lineup. We were hoping that, you know, he could duplicate that, but he didn't.
Manny took a swing that took him down to his knees. Is that maybe an indication some guys are really trying too hard, perhaps, or is that just a...
Yeah, I tell you, some of the type of slider that Martinez has, he makes you have some off-balance swings. But, you know, you could make that case. But, you know, he's done it before in periods where he's swinging the bat real well, too. He had another line drive caught tonight. I think I know he's hitting to a lot of tough luck here lately. It's been a real challenge for him mentally. You know, we made a real good double play in the first inning, and I thought, you know, we might get it going. But I've said many times that when you got a guy like Martinez, the momentum's hard to build on, because he has such good stuff. Okay, thank you.
And that was Buck Showalter.